Hey, morning everyone. Before you sit down, turn to a friend and say, I'm proud of you for being in church this morning. It is something to be proud of, by the way. You got out, it was cold this morning, it was very cold. You got out of bed, you got here, good on you, something to be proud of. Someone asked me on the way in if I was preaching this morning. I said, how did you know? And they said, well, you're wearing a jacket. So yeah, I put that on every time I preach. And Ty, you look so good this morning, man. You're raising the dress standard for us. Well done, well done. I want to start just by telling you a little bit about church attendance in Australia. I don't know if you like statistics, I do, but at the last census, so this was in 2021, the 2021 census, 43.9% of Australians identified as Christians. So that's about 11 million people. It's actually the first census where less than 50% of Australians identified as Christians, but that's another story. 43.9% of people said they were Christians. Other research says that 7.1% of Australians attend church every week, so about 1.8 million. So that means that for each of you here in church this morning, there are five other Christians not going to church this week. Does that sound a bit strange? Five other Christians for every person here not going to church this week. Now, the top six reasons why Aussies don't go to church, and see if you can relate to any of these. So hopefully, I'm sure you can't, but I'm sure you've heard about people who don't go to church for these reasons. Number one, irrelevant to my life. Okay? They don't accept how church is taught. Outdated style. Issues with clergy or ministers. They don't believe the Bible. Now, I don't know how you can be a Christian and not believe the Bible, but that's another point. Or number six, too busy to attend. Too busy to attend. So lots of reasons why people don't go to church. In fact, between 1991 and 2016, the Pentecostal church, which we're a part of, was the only denomination in Australia that actually grew in church attendance each week. Every other denomination declined. I think that says that Christians in our nation, generally speaking, don't see the value in church. They don't. Our theme this year is what? Cherish His church. So Christians in Australia, generally speaking, don't cherish His church. Let me personalize this for a moment. So here's my church journey over 40 years, and it was an interesting exercise to sit down and think about all the churches that I've been a part of over the years. So Mount Evelyn Christian Fellowship in Melbourne, CityNet Christian Outreach Centre in Brisbane, Impact Christian Church in Brisbane, River of Life in Brisbane, my favourite church because I met Lauren there, Hope Centre in Brisbane, Empower Church in Sydney, City West Church in Sydney, and then finally Imaginations. So eight churches in my 40 years. So eight churches, seven church moves. And I was thinking about it, I thought four of those moves were for geographical reasons and three were for other reasons. Maybe like irreconcilable differences, you know, that kind of theme. Now, in one case, my parents, who were pastors, got burned by the church and so we sort of left as a family. In another case, there was internal conflict within the church and just became too uncomfortable to be there. And in another case, as Lauren and I were getting together, the church leadership decided that they weren't supportive of us, that I wasn't God's best for Lauren. They were the words that were used, even though her family and my family were right behind it. So, of course, it's hard to stay where you don't feel supported. So there are always those joys of being part of a church that's ultimately made up of people. You've probably heard this quote before from Charles Spurgeon. If you find a perfect church, it becomes imperfect the moment you join it. So I've had plenty of opportunities in my life to give up on church. Plenty of opportunities to get hurt or upset or decide that I've got better things to do with my time. And actually, as I thought about it, I reckon I went to a Christian school. Most of my friends who were Christians, at least at that time, are no longer in church. So it's not an unusual pattern. You know, it just seems to be that idea of being present in church, of cherishing His church, is not as strong as it used to be. I mean, you're here, So you clearly see the importance and the value, and so do I. But a few weeks ago, Pastor Jack shared about why he and Pastor Carol tithe. Remember that message? It was really good. It can be hard to talk about tithing, but the way he personalized, I thought, was excellent. So I'm actually going to talk today about why Lauren and I and our family go to church, why it's important to us. Now, I tried really hard for an acrostic like Pastor Jack did with tithe, but it just wasn't working. So I thought, no, I'm trying to force this too much. So no acrostic, but instead I've got six things the church does for you that you can't do for yourself. Six things that the church does for you that you can't do for yourself. I'm going to start by reading Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 16. Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Six things the church does for you that you can't do for yourself. Because if we really believe, if we actually believe that the church is the body of Christ, then it's not really an option as to whether we want to be a part of that or not. It's not really an option as to whether we want to cherish the church. If the church is the body of Christ, that's where we should be. That's where we should be, part of that unified body. So number one, why do we come to church? What can the church do for us that we can't do for ourselves? Number one, edification and growth. Edification and growth. So to edify, you probably know, means to build up. And growth, when I talk about it here, means personal growth. So to be built up and personal growth. In verse 12 of the passage we just read, it talks about the church being built up. In verse 13, it talks about becoming mature in the Lord. And then in verse 15, it talks about growing in every way more and more like Christ. So no one can flourish alone. No one can flourish alone. Edification and growth needs community. It needs other people. It's very hard. It's like when you try and tickle yourself. It doesn't work, right? You can't edify yourself either in the same way. And personal growth is never quite the same unless you've got someone kicking you up the backside sometimes just to be a bit better than what you are and a bit further forward. So I know I look like I'm in peak physical condition right now, just like Brother Joe earlier, exactly like that. But that wasn't always the case. I tried to lose weight on my own and kept failing for years until finally I got connected with a trainer because I just thought, this is not working. I've got to connect with someone. I've got to connect with a trainer. And that made all the difference because when I felt like I'd done enough, he would say, do more. When I felt like I was tired and couldn't keep going, he'd say, keep going. And when I needed just to be told, do you really want this? So I'd say, I didn't have a good week. You know, I wasn't great with my food. And he'd say, well, do you want this or not? You know, it's not like you were forced to eat something you shouldn't eat. Do you want this or not? Do you want this or not? And it was that sense of someone with me pushing me to be better, pushing me to grow that made all the difference. We can't edify ourselves. We can't reach our peak personal growth condition on ourselves. We need other people around us and we need to be part of a community. It can be that encouraging word from someone else at just the right time. Just when you need that encouraging word, it comes along. Or it's that irritating person that forces you to grow in love and patience. Raise your hand if you're sitting next to that person right now. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Pastor Mitch, you're that person for me. Oh, sorry, I meant the encourager, not the irritator, the encourager. The encourager and the edifier. Think about who does that for you. Now, what happens if children are just left to grow on their own? Has anyone read Lord of the Flies? It's not a pretty picture, You know, we need people around us. We need to be part of a community, a mature community that helps us to grow. So we, Lauren and I and my family, we go to church because we're encouraged and discipled by all of you. We grow because of all of you. And if discipleship is the goal of our Christian journey, then it can only happen here in the church. Proper edification and growth can only happen here in the church. So reason number one, the church, what the church can do for you that you can't do for yourself, edification and growth. Number two, our kids. Verse 14 says, in church we will no longer be immature like children. And by implication, that means our children are immature. Can anyone say amen? And as they mature, we want them to be in a church community that helps them to grow. That helps them to grow and mature. You know, you that old thing that our parents always used to say, you are who you associate with. You are who you associate with. And we want our kids to associate with like-minded people who share the same faith, who share the same values, from kids' church all the way through to youth. Because for us, faith isn't an add-on in their lives. It's something we want to be central to their lives. We go to church, we send them to PCS, which is a ministry of this church, because we want our kids to be in kids' church, in youth, with Christian friends, and we can't provide that on our own. The times I got into most trouble as a kid, it was always someone else's fault. They led me astray. Pastor Stu led me astray. Maybe you were the kid that led other people astray, I'm not sure. But we are the company we keep. And so we go to church because we want our kids to be a part of a vibrant kids' ministry and youth ministry where they can keep the right company and grow in their faith. So we come to church for edification and growth. We come to church for our kids. And then number three, we come to church for spiritual moderation and protection. It's a lot of words, but think about this for a moment. Verse 14 says, when we're in church, we won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. So when I say moderation here, spiritual moderation, I'm talking about the sense of being moderated by a community of people that are around you and care for you. If someone's weird, you know, we always say they're on the fringe because they're not grounded in a community, they're on the edge, right? They're on the fringe. And weirdness, if you know, always comes from the fringe. So don't be on the fringe. We had a fringe person in church, one of the churches I mentioned earlier, I won't say which one, when I grew up. She wasn't really locked in and connected, didn't see her every week, but every now and then would show up from time to time and always had a prophetic word for someone. Once I got a prophetic word from her that I'd already met my future wife. That was about 10 years before I met Lauren. Fringe. Not the sort of person that you want speaking into your life. Not moderated by the community and then so it just sort of ends up a little bit weird. Maybe you can think of someone like that. But we're in church because we believe in the importance of spiritual moderation. You know, even the way that we read scripture and how we interpret scripture. You know, people on their own reading the Bible can end up with some pretty weird interpretations. But being a part of a community where we're willing to submit ourselves to that moderation that comes from being around other people can really give us the best possible chance of living a good Christian life. Sometimes we just need our church to tell us when we're being stupid. And then without church, you don't have spiritual protection. Let me read you this quote. Being disconnected from the local church for whatever reason is a dangerous way to live. Not only do these lone rangers miss out on the blessings of functioning within the context of the body of Christ, but like lone sheep, away from the safety of the flock and the watchful care of the shepherd, they are vulnerable to predators of every sort. So Lauren and I go to church because we need both the spiritual moderation of the community to keep us on track, but we also need the spiritual protection of the community. We need people praying for us, standing with us when we need it. We need to be under a covering that protects us from the attack of the enemy. So we go to church because we need that spiritual moderation and protection. And number four, this is one very close to my heart, spiritual gifts. Verse 16 says, every part of the body does its special work and helps the other parts to grow. Every part of the body, every part of you, does its special work and helps all the other parts to grow. Now, if you know, that's a very clear parallel with 1 Corinthians 12. I'm just going to read that quickly. I'll pick a few verses. Verse 4, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. Now, Paul was writing here to a fractured community. He's basically saying different kinds of gifts. Each person here has a different kind of gift, but it's the same Spirit that gives all the gifts. And we might do different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it's the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. And then in verse 12, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? If your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our body has many parts, and God has put each part just where He wants it. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. All of you together, in verse 27, are Christ's body, and each of you are a part of it. The spiritual gifts aren't just an add-on to our lives. They're actually central to what it means to be Christian, and all of us have a part to play. All of us have a unique part to play as part of the body, a hand, a foot, an eye. But we learn two things from this passage. Firstly, we should not feel like we don't belong. We're not a part of the body. Where it says, at one point, the foot says, I'm not a part of the body. Or the ear says, I'm not a part of the body. So sometimes we as parts of the body can question whether we belong, and this says we should not do that. We're absolutely a necessary part of the body. But then on the other side too, no one can tell us that we're not a vital part of the body. A bit later where it says, the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. So we should not feel like we're not a vital part of the body of Christ, and no one can tell us that we're not a vital part of the body of Christ. We all have a part to play. And the context for this passage in 1 Corinthians 12 is spiritual gifts. We all have different spiritual gifts, but it's the same Spirit that gives them. We all have different types of service that we have to do, but it's the same Lord that we serve. And so we cannot function as a part of the body if we're not acting like a part of the body, if we're off on our own, not knitted into the body of Christ, His church. We can't function properly within our spiritual gifts as part of the body if we're not in church, if we're not cherishing His church and being here and being present. So when I talk about things that the church can do for us that we can't do for ourselves, an opportunity to exercise our spiritual gifts as part of the body is absolutely part of that. We each have our part to play. This is where we exercise our spiritual gifts, not for our benefit, but for the benefit of the whole body. So what have I said so far? Edification and growth. We come to church for our kids. We come to church for spiritual moderation and protection. And then we come to church as a place where we can exercise our spiritual gifts as part of the body of Christ. Two to go. Number five, good works and missions. Verse 12 of Ephesians says, we're equipped to do His work. And earlier in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, verse 10, it says, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, we come to this church because we believe, as Pastor Jack always says, in making His last command our first priority. And if you believe that, we can't do that by ourselves. I don't know how you live out the Great Commission or how you do the good works that God prepared in advance for you to do without being a strong part of a church community. Or if you do that, if you're out on your own trying to do missions or to do good works on your own, you will be far less effective than if you're combining your resources, combining your talents, combining your spiritual gifts, and working together to do those good works and missions. So we cherish the church. We're a part of the church because it's where we're able to live out the Great Commission, where we're able to do those good works that God prepared in advance for us to do. Every time Pastor Mitch does a missions update, it's almost overwhelming in terms of how much this church is involved in missions, how much we're doing around the world, not by us as individuals. We all support it, we all give to it, but we do it as his church. We do it as part of his church. So we come to church because the community of faith, this church, can do so much more than either myself or Lauren or any of our kids could do on their own. And the last one, and this for me is probably the most important, number six. We come to church because the church can help us to grow in love and Christ-likeness. Verse 15 that we read earlier says, "We will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church." And verse 16 says, "The whole body is healthy and growing and full of love." Love really is. If you read the scripture, love really is the pinnacle of the Christian life. You know, I just talked about spiritual gifts and how important they were, that we're all exercising our spiritual gifts as part of the body. But then in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 1, it says, "If I could speak all the languages of earth and angels but didn't love others, I'd only be a noisy gong or a clashing cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. And if I gave everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it, but if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing." Think about that for a moment. You can be exercising spiritual gifts. You can be prophesying. You could have enormous faith. You could even be giving to missions, giving to the poor. But if you don't have love, you're nothing. So we believe God's love. We believe that because God outworks that love in relationship within the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Even if none of the rest of creation, none of the rest of the universe existed, God would still be love because it's central to his person. The Father loves the Son loves the Spirit loves the Son. Right at the core of who God is love. I just don't know how you can love people outside of a church community properly. John 13:34 says, "Just as I have loved you, you should love each other." And the only way we can become more like Christ is to be in a place where we can show his love to others. Now, of course, you can do that outside of the church. Of course, you can show love to people who are not saved or even Christians around the world. Of course, you can do that. But if it's not grounded in love developed and built within a church community, it doesn't quite have the same depth, the same substance. And we don't just need to love, but we need to grow to be more like Christ, which can only happen when we're part of a church community. Only in demonstrating love for others can we be truly Christ-like. And if we're not trying to be Christ-like, then what's the point? What are we actually trying to do in this Christian life if we're not trying to be like Christ? If we can't even love as part of a church community, gee, it's going to be much harder to exemplify that love to people outside of the church. Now, this is where we practice. This is where we get good at loving others. We cherish the church. So Lauren and I and our family, we come to church because we need edification and growth, because we want the best for our kids, because we need spiritual moderation and protection, because we need to exercise our spiritual gifts, because we need to outwork good works and missions, and because we need to show love and Christ-likeness. Let me say one more thing about these 6 points, then I'm done. Not a single one of them is one directional. The church does not give you edification and growth. We edify each other and grow as a community. The church doesn't raise your kids or my kids. We create the community that we want our kids to be a part of. The church doesn't moderate us. We moderate each other. The church doesn't give us spiritual gifts. The Spirit gives us gifts and we outwork them in the church so that everyone is built up. The church doesn't do our good works and missions for us. We, as part of the church, do the good works, and participate in mission. The church doesn't love us. We love each other. So the real question when we talk about cherish the church is not what the church can do for you, not what the church can do for me or for Lauren or for our kids. Now, I said six things the church can do for you that you can't do for yourself, but that's not the real question. The question is how each of us can play our part in this glorious, imperfect community that's absolutely central and necessary to our own growth and discipleship and then to God's mission in the world. How do we cherish His church? Well, I think like most things in life, the more you put in, the more you get out. The more you're willing to invest and serve and cherish the church, the more the church will become dearer and dearer to you in your own heart. So it's not a one-directional dynamic. It's always giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. Stand with me for a moment. Obviously, so much that we've heard this year is about encouraging each of us to cherish His church. Not for just for the sake of the church, but for our own sake and for the sake of the kingdom of God being built up in the world. Now, you're here this morning, so I know that you do cherish His church. And I think only when we do that can we have fullness in our Christian lives. I'm going to read three quick quotes. If you won't listen to me, listen to the wisdom of men and women much better than I am. D.L. Moody said, "Church attendance is as vital to a disciple as a transfusion of rich, healthy blood to a sick man." Corrie ten Boom said, "Be united with other Christians. A wall with loose bricks is not good. The bricks must be cemented together." And John Stott said, "The Christian life is not just our own private affair. If we have been born again into God's family, not only has He become our Father, but every other Christian believer in the world, whether this nation or denomination, has become our brother or sister in Christ." It's no good supposing that membership of the universal Church of Christ is enough. We must belong to some local branch of it. Every Christian's place is in a local church, sharing in its worship, its fellowship, and its witness. I pray that for all of us, myself included, that we would cherish His church. We sung before about, make us one. Holy Spirit, make us one. May we be one as the church and the community of Jesus Christ. Why don't you just take the hand of the person next to you? It's socially awkward, I know, but it's not awkward if you're next to one of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Let's pray. Maybe one of those points spoke to you this morning, just about a way in which you can cherish the church that you're not currently. Maybe when I read out those six reasons why Aussies don't go to church, you can identify with one of them. Or maybe at some point in your history, you've been hurt by the church and have really struggled to get back to that place where you can cherish the church in your heart. Just remember, the church is the body of Christ. It's not optional if we want to live out our Christian life in its fullness, if we want to be disciples of Jesus Christ. It's where we need to be, because there's so much. I only said six things, but there is so much the church can do for you that you can't do for yourself. And so much that the church needs you to do for the rest of the church. So let's pray. Lord, we pray this morning and we stand in unity. Lord, we stand with a heart that says we cherish your church. We want to see your church grow. We want to see your kingdom extended. Lord, we want to flourish. We want to see your church flourish. We want to be planted strongly in the unified body of Jesus Christ. We pray for edification and growth, Lord. Help us to be built up and to grow as part of your church. We pray for our kids. We want the best for our kids. We want them to grow up in a community of vital Christianity that teaches them what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We pray for spiritual moderation and protection, Lord. Help us to moderate each other and protect each other from the attacks of the enemy. May we stand together in strength and unity when those attacks come so that we can repel them together. Help this to be the place where we exercise our spiritual gifts, where we know what it means to use those spiritual gifts for the benefit of others. Help us to live out the good works that you've prepared in advance for us to do and to be engaged and lively with missions and that calling. And Lord, we pray over everything else, Lord, help us to grow in love and Christ-likeness. Help us to become more like Christ. Help us to show your love for each other first and foremost, and then to the world. Lord, we pray this morning that you would help us work in our hearts by your Holy Spirit so that we truly can cherish the church. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship.